speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. Recently, I came across something called the Forgiveness Likelihood Scale. It's a tool that presents various scenarios and is designed to measure our forgiving nature on a scale from very unlikely to very likely. So, this morning, good people of St. Cross, I have a few questions for you all, a sort of thought experiment, if you will. First, you tell an acquaintance about a job that you hope to be hired for, and without telling you, the acquaintance applies and gets the job for him or herself. What is the likelihood that you would choose to forgive your acquaintance? Or how about this one? You share something embarrassing about yourself to a friend who promises to keep the information confidential. However, the friend breaks his or her promise and proceeds to tell several people. What is the likelihood that you would choose to forgive your friend? One more. A stranger breaks into your house and steals a substantial amount of money from you. What is the likelihood that you would forgive the stranger? How are we doing out there, people of St. Cross? Forgiveness isn't all that easy, is it? It seems to me in the gospel lesson we just heard, Peter comes to Jesus with his own version of a forgiveness likelihood scale. Lord, if a member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Peter, in his question, wants things to be nice and neat. He wants forgiveness to be measured and controlled. And yet, in his response, Jesus is anything but measured and controlled. He tells Peter to forgive not seven times, but 77 times. And there's debate whether the original Greek text here actually means 70 times seven times. All that to say, it's Jesus' way of telling Peter, stop trying to keep count. Forgiveness isn't something that has a limit. And then he launches into the parable that we hear this morning. Now, folks in the first century who heard this parable probably would have gotten a good laugh. And let me try to explain a little bit. In this parable, we hear about a king who decides to forgive the debt of one of his slaves who owed him 10,000 talents. And upon being forgiven this sum of 10,000 talents, the slave goes out, encounters one of his fellow slaves who owes him 100 denarii, and in a violent fashion, he grabs him by the throat, refuses to forgive his debt, and has him thrown in jail. What probably would have gotten people laughing about this story, or at least scratching their heads a little bit, is the amount of money the first slave owed the king. In this time in history, one talent equaled 15 years worth of daily wages for a laborer. And we hear that the first slave owed the king 10,000 talents. So that's like 150,000 years of labor. It's essentially saying that the slave owed the king a bazillion dollars. No one could ever owe this amount of money, and there is no way a king in his right mind would forgive that kind of debt. 100 denarii, the amount the second slave owed the first slave, was roughly equivalent to about 3 months' wages. Now, that's not an easy debt, but it's nowhere compared to the 10,000 talents the first slave owed the king. What the first servant fails to recognize is that his experience of radical generosity from the king obligates him to extend that same generosity to others. Jesus seems to tell this absurd and almost laughable parable for a reason. He uses it to communicate to Peter and to the church that no matter how large or how unimaginable the debt might be, God demonstrates a generous mercy. No matter how much we think we've made a mess of things, no matter how much we think we're unworthy, God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. This compassionate mercy is at the very core of Jesus' ministry and is to be emulated by persons and communities of faith. There's a beautiful scene in a movie that came out in the 1980s called The Mission. Perhaps some of you remember it or have even seen it. It stars Robert De Niro, Jeremy Irons, and a very young Liam Neeson. The movie is about a group of Jesuit priests that are doing mission work in Paraguay with the Guarani people in the 18th century. De Niro's character plays a mercenary and slave trader by the name of Rodrigo Mendoza, who worked to enslave the Guarani people. And without giving too much away for those of you who haven't seen the movie, there comes a point where Mendoza realizes the wrong that he has done. He has a change of heart, but he thinks that he is well beyond any sort of redemption for the crimes that he's committed. And as penance, the Jesuits convince Mendoza to accompany them as they make the difficult journey to the Guarani village, deep into the cliffs and waterfalls of the Paraguayan jungle. And during the journey, Mendoza carries this huge bag filled with all his old armor and all his own old weapons that's tied to his back with this very long, thick rope as he drags it behind him as they make this journey. The journey is nearly impossible with a sack like that strapped to his back as they climb up cliffs and waterfalls. But the Jesuits and Mendoza, after days of travel, finally make it to the village. The Guarani people are delighted to see the Jesuits, their friends, but many of them recognize Mendoza as the man who enslaved and even killed their family and friends. And one of the Guarani men grabs a knife and he runs over to Mendoza and he puts the knife to his throat. Mendoza is ready to receive the punishment he is sure he deserves. And in this beautiful scene, the Guarani man starts cutting off that large sack of armor and weapons that was strapped to Mendoza's back, that large sack that represented Mendoza's old life. And then the man kicks that large back, that large bag of weapons and armor into the river valley below. Mendoza, shocked and bewildered, begins to sob uncontrollably. In that moment, he is opened up to a new way of life. Almost every Sunday here at St. Cross, we practice confession and absolution. We bring whatever is weighing on our hearts to God, and we are reminded of God's generous mercy. Pay attention to it today. Really let it sink in. Know that no matter what, God forgives you. And this forgiveness opens us up to new possibilities and new ways of being in the world. While we might want forgiveness to be nice and measured and controlled like Peter and the forgiveness likelihood scale, Jesus reminds us of a kind of love and a kind of mercy that is beyond measure. our job, our call, is to be vehicles of that generous love, of that generous mercy to the world around us. Amen.